Hey, everybody. This is Chris. Welcome to Renewing the Center. Welcome to the podcast. It is good to be with you today. We are going to continue our series on the questions God asks. And today, we're actually going to jump into the gospel. For the next little bit of time, we're going to be listening to questions Jesus actually asks in the New Testament. It's been really fun to be in the Old Testament for a little while, predominantly in this little series. Today, we're going to hear Jesus ask this question: do you also wish to go away? This is a really painful moment in the life of Jesus and in the life of his disciples, as we will see. And he asks an honest question. I don't believe this is rhetorical. I actually think Jesus is asking John and James and Andrew and Peter and the others, are you going to leave? Lots of people are leaving. Are you going to leave as well? So let's read, and then we'll pray, and then we're just going to spend some time together reflecting on this really searing question. So Jesus said to them in verse 53 of John 6, so Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. We'll skip down to verse 66. Because of this teaching that I just read, because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, we ask you to help us to hear this question. God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to acknowledge that there are these critical junctures as we live our lives where we have to decide and renew our commitment to you. Times where you ask us, are you going to leave? Are you going to walk away? And Lord, I pray that we would enter into the shoes of Simon Peter and the others, the friends of Jesus, and that we would hear this question as they would have heard it. And help us, Lord, to answer with our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this question, do you wish to go away? It comes on the heels of what maybe for you, if you have been a Christian for a while, doesn't sound as provocative to you because you know about communion, you know about the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist meal, and we think, oh, Jesus is just teaching about communion here. But we need to step out of that familiarity and recognize that in John 6, Jesus was a long way before the cross. He'd not died on the cross. The sacrament of communion had not become a normative part of church experience, and it was not what you think of it now. Jesus, before the cross, is standing in front of a crowd, and he's saying, unless you have such a visceral experience of me, a partaking of me that feels like cannibalism. I mean, the language here, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. I mean, I get why people walked away from Jesus. I mean, this was not only disorienting, but maybe disgusting. It was like provocative to the point of being a non-starter for so many people. I mean, Jesus is saying, my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. I mean, we know as Christians what Jesus is getting at here. He's speaking of the sacrifice of atonement. He's speaking of the cross. He's speaking of how we spiritually feed on him at the communion table. But these friends and these crowds, I mean, they are just hearing someone that they trust say something that they can't wrap their heads around. And I think that there are just times in life where we allow some of our familiarity with the story to keep us from being scandalized by certain things in the Bible. And so for Peter specifically, and for James and John, for Andrew, for the others, this was hard. This was hard because what Jesus is saying is there's a kind of connection that you need to have with me that's going to push you way out of your comfort zone. Your dependency upon me would be so much so that it would be like eating and feasting on me, on my very life as a sacrifice for you. And John 6, 66, so if you're into numbers, John 6, 66 says, because of this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went about with them. This was like the anti-church growth, movement growth moment. This was a movement killer. Jesus was raising the stakes. He was using provocative language, and people are like, we can't do this. And so in that context of people leaving, of confusion and disgust and dismay and disorientation, Jesus looks at his friends and he says, are you going to leave as well? And so I want you to think of it in the moment. I want you to enter into that moment and feel that feeling. It was a legitimate question, y'all. He was really asking them, are you going to leave as well? And there are probably modern equivalents. I mean, I think that over the last number of years, you know, we've seen a lot of people deconstruct their faith and walk away from their faith. And they're walking away from their faith because they feel scandalized by all that's happening in the wider landscape with American politics and people who name Jesus saying and doing things that really don't feel or look all that much like Jesus. But I have conversations all the time with people who go, well, what if they're right? And what if some of the ugly stuff we see out there is really consistent with who Jesus is? If that's true, I don't want anything to do with it. And increasingly, it's harder and harder to be a Christian. Like I hold to a high biblical worldview, a conservative theological worldview. And there are so many people that are walking away from the faith because they're just like, well, if a high scriptural view is the way it works, then I'm not down with that. I can't do that. And then there come times in life where the Lord looks at people like you and at people like me, and he says, are you going to walk away as well? And I think it's a real question. I mean, I wish that I would have been in the 12, in that small group with Jesus as they're sitting around and the crowds had thinned and Jesus is looking them in the eye and he's like, are you going to leave as well? And essentially what he's saying is, when it gets hard, when life is hard, when the cost of following is more expensive, it's tempting to walk away. And that's when a lot of people do walk away. And there are times in life where God puts the question to us, well, what about you? And Peter's answer is, I think, an actual real honest one. The text says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. I think there's an implied, I've thought about it. I feel uncomfortable. I feel unsure. And yet there's nowhere else for me to be. I mean, in my own life over the last few years, there were moments where if I could have gone somewhere else and done something else, if I could have done something to release the pressure, I would have. And yet I just kept coming back to Jesus. I kept coming back to my allegiance to Jesus, my love for Jesus, and essentially landed where Peter lands, which is I don't have another option. It would be great if I did. But I don't. Jesus, you're the one. You're the way. When you hold the moment in light of the teaching, what Jesus is doing is he's raising the stakes of discipleship. He's raising the stakes of obedience. He's actually raising the stakes as it relates to how we are nourished and fed. He's saying, you can't find nourishment apart from a visceral connection to me. You can't find life somewhere else. And, you know, there were probably lots of people in those crowds that were just like, you know, we want some spirituality to be a little flavoring at the edges of our life. And now you're saying this has to be like the full meal. I mean, no pun intended, Jesus is saying, I am the full meal. You have to feed on me. And they didn't want it. And I think about my own life, and I think about the times in life where I want my relationship with Jesus to be a kind of some salt on top of the food to flavor it versus the meal itself. And Jesus looks at me and he's like, are you going to let your life and your nourishment come from me and me alone? Or are you going to look elsewhere? Do you wish also to go away? I believe that this question contains in it an invitation to return to our sustenance, to look to him primarily. And one way that you can reinforce that commitment is to spend time in the Gospels. I mean, every day I'm reading other parts of the Bible, but I make sure to read the Gospels because I want to be fed by the words and the actions in the life of Jesus. And I pray when I read that God would make me aware, that he would make me awake to the reality of Jesus. Your only source of nourishment is God. He's the only one that can satisfy. And yet we live in a world that tells us to drink from all kinds of fountains. And in this question, I believe there is an invitation. Would you look to Jesus as your primary source of life and acknowledge the places where that's hard and the places where we've gone elsewhere, and then come back to him? I come back to Jesus every morning and say, today I choose to say yes and to surrender. I choose to surrender to you because you have the words of eternal life. Place him as your priority. Acknowledge that it's hard, that we are confused even sometimes by the words that he says, but our life is wrapped up in his life in ways that we will never truly understand this side of eternity, maybe not even fully understand it on the other side. I don't know. I've never been there. But Jesus is saying, will you follow me? God bless you. We'll see you soon.